All right, here we go again. We're back. This is our weekly Sheep Fan podcast, hosted on your very own bullshit platform with my small shill mic. Not small shill mic. Yeah.
You need to get a piece of fresh piece of sponge for it, fat.
I do, yeah. I've got a good piece. It's actually got a...
All right.
Its own piece of sponge.
Oh, sound changes when you take that off.
Yeah. It's not damped down, is it? That's why.
That's actually better than mine, that is.
It's actually better than yours. I don't know. I think yours is a better shill mic than mine, to be fair. I think
they've
that's a more expensive mic, is that?
Yeah, but things get cheaper, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's got more meat to it. Maybe this has got more balance. I don't know. Anyway, who cares? The format is simple. We're releasing a minimum of four shows. Who's got worse shill mic? My shill mic's better than your shill mic. We release a full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one plus download. Also, members get video as well, which I'll come on to in a sec because I've had a few issues with it. All new shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private bullshit platform at sheepfan.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic that distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Tapple, and a few others. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications for all new shows. Also, join... Well, Chris, or I'm going to say us, but mainly you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Thanks for buying supplements. Remember, use the promo code. I get some people saying, don't want to use the promo code, I want to support you. Look, I get sales outside Sheep Farm, and those subsidise my Sheep Farm listeners. So there you go. All right. Please use the promo code, or I'll just apply it anyway. And refund you.
Do you do that?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I don't look at every order, do I? So it's one of those ones where also some of it's difficult if I can see them, if I know the name.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, you go on to Gaping Gobs, Chris's Etsy store.
Well, I've got the calendar now. I sold loads of them. I've got about
big shield calendar.
Yeah, I ain't even shown it, have I? Look. Ta-da! It's got that on the back, and then it's got... there's January, me and you in January.
Right.
February. Took me a while to put it together, but I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah.
I've done a little blurb there on Keir Starmer. Look. What did I write? One or two. Fuck's sake. Let me tell you.
Here's what I prepared earlier.
I dropped it. I put the Keir Starmer one. This is a man that gets things done with his powerful little pig-like eyes and not so commanding, slightly camp, nasally voice. The UK ain't seen a Labour puppet lying flip-flop like this one since the early 2000s.
I'm not a lying flip-flop, but I ain't got a high-pitched voice either.
I know. Anyway, I've done that and I've done some more badges. And
why did you put Keir Starmer? He's got an ass like a blood orange.
That summed it up, wouldn't it?
That would have summed it up, yeah.
A few folk have asked me for desktop calendars, so I'm going to do one of them as well. Mm. Christmas presents.
Yeah.
You know, make a couple of book out of them, you don't make much out of them.
They look quite good, them, Chris, even though I haven't got one.
I'll send you one. No, it's a nice thing to
have. March.
I buy a calendar every year.
So do I, yeah. I've got a planner on the back wall. Yeah. Behind there, there's a planner.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just a handy thing to have, aren't they? And also, I do one for Lou, usually, and I put like pictures of Sis on it and stuff. And then you can cut them out and keep the pictures, can't you? So that's why I thought of each one as a little, it's got a decent piece of artwork on it, so you can cut them out and put them in, you know. Yeah. I get excited about things like that. You tend not to.
I get excited about staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning doing somebody's genealogy, like a tit.
Oh, and also I bumped into a sheep farmer in Cleethorpes, and I've forgotten his name now. Sorry, I apologise if you're listening. When I was in Cleethorpes, me and my mate Dave, I was walking down the street and someone shouted, "Hey, Chris!" This fellow who comes to the live shows,
right?
I was just chatting to him. I said, "What is this to do in Cleethorpes?" He said, "Fuck all this shit up."
Sorry if you're from Cleethorpes. I'm sure it's a brilliant way.
He's from
Cleethorpes. This is the Cleethorpes Tourist Board.
I had a good time, though. Big beach, arcades for kids. It's all we need, isn't it?
Fuck all this shit. That's the same about Huddersfield, to be honest with you.
I tell you what did shock me, though. We were staying in Airbnb, just at the end of the road, went out to get some, because we were jabbing and drinking wine or whatever, and we missed delivery takeaway. So me and Dave walked to the end of the street, and there were 5 kebab shops in one area, right? In one little square. And
it was the same kebab.
On a Tuesday night, right? And obviously me and Lou don't eat kebabs, so I was looking for not one of them, right? I went around all of them, not one of them had a veggie kebab or burger on it, right? So I saw a guy come out with a kebab. It looked really nice, to be fair. And I went in there and I said, oh, can you do an halloumi kebab? And he went, yeah, no problem. Can I have 2? Yeah, no problem. And then he went to me, and I've obviously got a northern accent as well. He went, because I'd ordered 2 veggie kebabs, he went, are you not from round here? And I went, why? And he went, I don't know, you seem like you're from London or somewhere. And I'm thinking, what, because I ordered a veggie kebab? I don't know.
Your accent's gone down safe, innit?
It could have been a pork pie hat, I suppose. But then that's just a hat, innit?
Yeah.
Why did he think I worked from around there?
Artifartiness.
It's definitely dark as in Cleethorpes. Do you know what I mean? Weird.
Well, he were there.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. He offered me a job.
And I'm stereotyping a done a kebab owner there.
I know. Chili sauce salad.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, nice. And what I was going to say, that's the first time I've actually bumped into a Sheep Farm listener.
Yeah.
Raw on the street, you know, without being at a live show or anything like that.
Right.
It's quite nice. I felt a bit special. It's a bit special.
You are.
You'd recognise him if you saw him. You'd recognise him if you saw him.
Right. Well, with that straight talking type of attitude, I'm sure I would recognise him.
Mm. Yeah.
just before we move on, last week there were a few issues with the video. I don't know what were happening, but I didn't upload the full video. It jumped from about 2 hours 40 minutes right to the end. Don't know why, but at my end here I've had major internet issues. I'm presuming it's something to do with that. It took ages to load up, and I've tried loading it up 4 times. And I've got better things to do than stand around. And the guy that sorts it out, it seems to be away at a minute, so I'll wait for him to come back.
Right. Well, I mean, it's new, isn't it? It's just
teething problems. I knew we were going to have them. But, yeah. I mean, the ones that are on work, so I think I've loaded about 4 or 5 up, they work. Okay, it's just something has gone on. The loading audio up seems to be okay. Loading the video up seems to have a problem. Because the files are bigger, so it's creating an issue, I think. Yeah. You sent me a video, somebody sent in, that we're apparently controlled opposition as well, so we can add that to our little chill mic, tick, merch, tick, controlled opposition, tick.
It was Patrick who flew the Glastonbury flag.
Okay.
He texted me and he said, you mentioned that someone had been mentioned us in a YouTube video.
Right.
I forgot what the guy's name was now.
Don't name him, I'm not bothered about that.
No, yeah, fair enough. To be fair, he basically was slagging off Dellenpole, and in the title of his video, it mentioned us, Dellenpole,
Richard Dior. Obviously, Richard Dior. I mean, they've just bankrupted him, Neil, and
took his house off him.
Yeah, took his house off him, and his kid's got nowhere to live and stuff like that. But other than that, he's paid opposition.
I felt quite proud, actually. I see it as a badge of
honour. Esteemed members, yeah.
But to be fair, I mean, this lad, I did watch that video. It was actually quite funny, and he's just going, easy shill. and included us, the Sheep Farm. He didn't really mention us that much. But I left him
apart from in title.
Yeah, it was in the title, yeah. And he did mention us once or twice. But I left him a message, and I meant it. Through no malice, I just said, just wondered where you came to your conclusion kind of thing. Just out of interest, you know.
Didn't do a Dom Jolly rant then?
No, I don't care. It doesn't matter, does it? I don't care if he slags us off. I do not care.
No.
I was just intrigued because I said, you know, we've spoke to some of these guys, and in my opinion, I don't think the shills. I know I'm not one, whatever, yeah. paid whatever, opposition, whatever. Mm. And I'm not sure these guys are. And I'd just be interested to know where you got your information from, rather than just watching and going, he's one. You've got to have something else more than that, haven't you? You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm sure the guy's all right, and I'm sure he's got quite a bit of content there, whatever. I can't disagree with everything he says, but if he's saying that we are, I mean, where's my briefcase full of cash.
Yeah, but, I suppose on a counter argument against myself in a way and against you as well, Dom Jolly said, "Well, you know, of course I am." You know, yeah, so yeah, yeah. I suppose the argument is that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What proof I mean, there is a bit of a difference that I did about 2 months worth of research on his genealogy, and I weren't actually saying he was controlling the position. I was just saying he was doing work for the.
Whether he knew it or not. Position,
whether he knew it or not. And all his family, all his family were spies.
Yeah, but also, he also went around, wrote a book and did an entire tour on.
Yeah, I think he deserves
that's why you looked into it, because yeah. we pointed out.
That was, yeah. That yeah. is exactly why.
And he were calling us dangerous. We're not dangerous. Yeah. What? So we were right to question what he was saying. Mm. And I'm questioning what that guy said, because where's he got his proof from? What's he talking about?
Yeah, what is he talking
where,
about?
Where, how does it? Where's my briefcase full of cash? That's where I want to know. Why am I selling fucking calendars?
The downside.
I'm making about £2 out of every one I sell. I've got to tell you what, look, if I control the opposition, doesn't have that, right? And the envelopes to post them out in.
And not only that, right? I heard you on phone today. You picked up your daughter up, and her two mates were there, and they were nagging you to make them some.
Yeah, I bought a new printer to print out my labels for my sculptures and for the calendar, you know, wherever.
That's where he's got his evidence from.
What, this little fucking £60 printer I bought?
No, you got a printer. That's it.
Right. When I was on phone to Dom today, Cicely's two mates round, and I said I'd print her some stickers off. And they were around me, and you just said, "You know, I'll speak to you later." I'm going. Because you were just
talking.
I want a picture of a dog. I don't know. Is that what a paid opposition does?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? But no.
Do you know what I think to that? I think that's why I know that we're all fucked.
Why?
Because that's meant to be the truth of movement. Hmm. Forget Dom Jolly and them. They are the opposition, right?
He's supposed to be on our side. Whatever.
Yeah, that's why we're fucked.
It is a bit of a worry, isn't it?
That's what that said. That's exactly what that said to me. Is that we can all have differences of opinion, right? We can all have, you know, whether you think the Earth's round or flat, or there's germs, or it's terrain. We can have differences of opinion, but once you realise your government's wants to kill you. And there's a new world order, for instance, or whatever, then whatever you think around it is sort of irrelevant. There's some larger battles to fight than...
Well, I mean, that is literally...
Two fucking parts books, Huddersfield.
Divide and conquer is literally...
That, in a nutshell.
In the basement with the nachos.
And that's why, I mean, I won't name the guy. I'm no interest in naming the guy.
No. I just wanted to... I wasn't even going to put a message
in
there.
Come on the podcast and have a conversation. You know, we're not...
We can call everyone chills.
Yeah, we just go out and call. I remember that other guy. I don't know anyway, I won't mention his name. But it was Lance that said something about him. And all of a sudden, we were included in that as well. And I'm thinking, where does that go? Because you bump into Jim down the road, all of a sudden you're related or you're part of his gang. You know?
We never call anyone... anything on here other than Dom Jolly.
I call you names. Yeah.
And Rat Boy Sanders. But that's because they've
come out and they've stuck their head above. They're calling out calling everybody else.
But you're not allowed to call them out.
No. But he's allowed to say what he wants. Good on him, you know.
I didn't leave a nasty message or anything.
No.
I'm just asking for
But I find it quite sad because that is why we're all goosed. Well, not all goosed, but that's why the whatever it is, the truth movement, I don't even like that part of it. It's an individual thing. That's why they'll never get it to agree.
Well, without being funny, right, you don't get any more tin pot than we are. But I suppose you'd say that if you were...
You've been trained.
What does that mean as well?
Do you know where I think it is, Chris?
Back of my living room here, do we just move it to one side and there's a massive studio behind me?
It's a bit like, say, Matt Letizia. Everyone talks about famous people talking out, then when they talk out, they're a paid shill.
Yeah.
So, or people like me and you, or Mark Devlin, or like Chris Thrall, we'll talk about show we did with him in a bit. You know, people get, for some reason, don't know why, didn't ask for it, get a level of people that either listen or watch or whatever. And all of a sudden, because people are watching, that means that you're a paid shill. So what? I remember somebody putting a comment on, I like you guys because you haven't got 200,000 followers or something like that. And I'm thinking,
well, what if we did have that?
Yeah, exactly. That guy who's got 200,000 followers.
He's a brick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's I don't know the psychology of it, but it is odd, isn't it? Because if we did...
And I'm not saying there aren't people out there. Yeah. We'd be stupid to think there aren't.
Yeah, but I'd rather consider everyone innocent until I know any different.
That's why I don't join clubs. Because I know that type of thing happens, whether it's a cricket club or whether we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Because you can't get all that committee, them people, to agree to the same thing.
Yeah. No, it is a shame. It is a shame. I don't know. I'm not offended by it. I don't care.
No. I'm sure he means well as well. You know, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he's got some good information.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
He's strong about that one. I mean, well, I haven't listened
to his stuff, so I won't know. I know. I think he had a channel before and he's got turned off because somebody used to send me stuff of his.
Right. And, I've never seen him before.
You know what I mean? Another thing we get asked to do a lot of live shows, don't we? When I say live, I don't mean on YouTube. I'm on about on going out and doing it live. I think we've got to understand that the logistics of me and Chris getting to the same place is quite difficult because he's got a busy life, so have I, and he's in Cambridge and I'm in Huddersfield. Oh, it's not millions of miles away. My life ain't set up to go and live out of a suitcase and stay over places. And
also, you don't really like leaving home that often, and neither do I these days, no. If I'm honest.
No.
So when we do a few, what, three or four a year?
Well, we've done three this year. So we did two up here and one in London.
Or we went to the Rise Above one?
Oh, yeah, we did four. Yeah.
It was four. But I reckon that's about as limiting it.
We're over the limit, really. I mean, in all respect to Lance and them guys, going down there for me is a trek.
It was for me, and I live south.
Yeah, it's a trek. Mm. Only did it because it was them guys.
Yeah. Yeah, some guy asked me the other day on Instagram, it sounds really nice, really legit and all that, but we're not really into it. We're not really...
No, it's not our thing. This is our thing. I like doing the research. I'm not... Mm. It's not that I don't like doing the live stuff. It's not...
No, but I wouldn't want to do it every week. Four in a year is fine for me.
If you ask me what comes first, it's the research. I like doing the podcasts. And with the podcasts, I like doing the deep dives. I like doing stuff me and you. So then both me and you. And then I like doing the interviews.
Mm.
Or talks with people who... Especially people we haven't met. And even going on other people's podcasts, I struggle with time on that one. So let alone going out and doing... And I'm on about starting another podcast up.
Well, yeah. You're a dickhead.
What about my feelings, Chris? You might hurt me then. I don't moan, I'm too busy. What I'm going to do is get rid of a project. I've got a couple of projects closing up. So I've got a window that I can open and fill it with that. But I enjoy doing that type of stuff. So,
I like being kept busy.
But it's not that it kept busy. It's more that... Going out and actually going somewhere is not top of my agenda. In fact, it's very, very low down. As much as I love meeting people when we do the live talks and stuff like that, it's quite the actual setting it all up and low. It's quite low down on the list for me of stuff. Mm. And that's not because I don't enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
Next year we'll probably do two in up north. Try and do another one in London, maybe. And possibly might be doing another one with Mark, might we?
Yeah.
But I can't imagine us doing any more than that.
No, that's it. We'll definitely do another one at the comedy club. I enjoyed that.
Mm.
And now we know the lay of the land. Yeah. You know, I can go down and come straight back up. It's not even...
Me too, actually. Yeah. I don't even need to stay in London. I did. To be fair, me and Lou turned into a jolly and had a little night out.
But you don't need to, do you?
I don't need to. I can just come back. I can get back. Yeah. The train's up here till 12 o'clock.
Mm. Yeah.
So...
And that that were really good. That were a different type of experience to the ones we do up here. Where, in fact, we were talking today about the ones that we do up here. We're probably going to do one in May and July. We might do like a Friday night as well, might we? Because a lot of people come and stay over on Friday night there.
Mm.
And I thought instead of them all just getting pissed in bar, we might as well do it in the actual room and have an hour or two up there. Whether it's me and you or maybe John Amer might come up and do something. I don't know, but it might be an idea.
Just a night of mingling.
Yeah, even if it's just an hour where we just sit down and have a chinwag, you know, an intro night. Oh, but look, it's not going to charge anything. We'll just do it.
I'm up there, and we end up doing that anyway, don't we?
Yeah, exactly, really. Exactly. So we might as well do it in a better setting up in the private room.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a better...
Get to open the bar up, yeah.
Really, there's a bar up there, and they'll bring food up. I would have thought. In fact, if we want a different setup, we could put tables in there as opposed to having chairs, and then change it around for the day after.
Mm. Turn it into like a little bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. That's what I'm thinking. That's what we're thinking anyway. We're talking about that, aren't we? But yeah, so yeah, live shows. I mean, I get asked. Stuart asks us for Mabel Thorpe and stuff like that, and I've got a list of all my projects written down, and I think I just haven't got time.
I've got a desktop calendar to produce.
just going on what we've recorded so far this week, you know, we recorded one with Matt Sergio a couple of weeks ago called The Ashes Addendum. And I've just put that together. It's probably taken me, I've spent another couple of hours on it today. It's probably taken me 10 hours to put that video together like an ash. It's 2.5 hours long to edit it and stuff like that. I'm going to send it over to Matt. He's going to have a look at it and say, oh, you might have missed this image off and that image off. We're going to record an intro for it, me and Matt. If you want to join us, you can do. And we're going to record an outro as well. So it might be about 25 hours long.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Look, I got some more badges done as well. Oh, no, you've seen that one.
Have you noticed Chris does all important stuff?
Little mint sauce one, look. Little retro one. Yeah. I've got a box full of badges here. If anyone wants to buy them on my Etsy shop. I've got a pin up my bloody arm.
We should have actually done this live on YouTube, shouldn't we?
I did suggest that.
Yeah, I didn't even think today. I'll just...
that's what I was going to say. We've actually, before we did this, we've already done like 4 or 5 hours of recording this week, haven't we?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to come on to then. So we've got the... got Matt Sergio to release. That might not be released for another few weeks. But then now we're just on about like projects. These are little projects, not big projects, but little projects. Then I'm going to put the one we did with Mike about the Doors.
Mm. That was good. That was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. So we just recorded one with Mike Williams again, Serge Acquay. Some of the information that we did about 3 years ago recorded, I put it into a presentation, more about the bloodlines of Jim Morrison. Or the Lizard King. And then we're going to do a second one, probably early in the new year at some point, of his entire bloodlines and the, I think, John Densmore, his bloodlines as well, that link into Eminem and all sorts of other weirdness.
We need to ask Mike to come on just for a chat.
Yeah, well, I mentioned...
I never thought about that until after we finished.
Well, we did one in last January with him, didn't we? The first one we did with Mike was last January, February, and it was just a chat on here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we've done that many, Chris, you lose track.
I don't lose track. Good deal.
Yeah. But yeah, what I suggested to him was we do a live one on YouTube with Mike Williams, and I think that'd go down great.
Because he's not just Beatles, he'll talk about everything.
I think Beatles is a very smidgen, it's like the Paul is Dead stuff, that's what people magnify on him. But really,
he was doing loads of stuff before that.
Yeah.
I like chatting to him. Yeah.
I'd like to pick his mind on the MK Ultra stuff because I know he's well into that stuff side of it.
He's a hypnotist. Yeah. What about, we need to mention who we've talked to today then, yesterday.
Yesterday. Chris Thrall.
Yeah. Chris Thrall.
Yeah, he was a nice guy as well. His podcast, on Chris Thrall's podcast, who I've been sort of talking to on and off for a year or two about doing a podcast, but we just never got round to it. And again, it's time. People are busy, aren't they? So, yeah, we went on his podcast. I don't know when he's going to release that. Probably tomorrow. He might release that tomorrow.
I can't remember if I was aware of him until you told us we were going on his show. I can't remember if I was or not.
You were. I told you before.
Subscribe now, and I've listened to a few of his stuff. I mentioned it in the top guy,
isn't it? Yeah.
In the thing we spoke to him about, I listened to the one about with the Afghanistan sniper.
Yeah.
It's harrowing.
He's an ex-Marine, is Chris Thrall, if anybody didn't know him. And he's, he's like those guys, jumped well over the fence a long time ago. And, it's interesting to hear from his angle. Again, he's got a different angle. Like I keep saying, you know, you meet these people. We've never had a conversation with him. I've bloody gone into his live chat a couple of times. That's about as far as the conversation I've had with him. Mm. And we were talking for, I don't know how long it went on for that.
Going on 2 hours.
Yeah. You talked for 2 hours about stuff like I've known him for 30 years. So if that guy's listening, who thinks we're controlled opposition, that is what this, whatever this thing is, that is what this thing is about, pooling together and then stepping away as well. You can be on your own. Yeah.
But there's no, you're not gaining anything by calling other people things, I don't think. I don't understand why there's any point.
No, I mean, I don't want to concentrate on that. It's just more the fact that those people that we just spoke about there, Matt Sergiu, Mike Williams, for instance, I didn't know Mike Williams until, obviously I've listened to his stuff, but I didn't know him until whenever it was, last January, February. Yeah. We've done what? First one we're nearly for 2 hours. Jane Asher won first one. We're definitely over 2 hours. Second one, we're over 2 hours. You know, we've done like bloody nearly 10 hours worth of recording with him.
Is this intro?
No, we're just recording. It's not intro, Chris, don't worry. we haven't got a guest on this week, so we're just doing the two-hour show itself, aren't we?
Ah, yeah, of course we are. There's no intro, is there? Fucking hell, I think there's no intro.
we've done that many this week. So Chris Thrall, the podcast we did with him, that one, I bet that was 2 hours long. And yeah, we're good. I don't know when he's going to release it, if he's going to release it on YouTube or not, or to his locals listeners. I don't know where it's going. But he said he'd send me the audio over and I'll release it at some point. We're not in any rush to release it. But that's it, yeah. So that's the intro, Chris.
All right.
30 minutes.
I couldn't remember what we were doing. I'm just sat here.
No, we're not doing the intro. We're not doing an intro.
I was looking at, I wrote all this down actually because I thought we were on at 7. And anyway, I was looking at, what is it? I mentioned to you before, Noah Oppenheimer. So Catherine Bigelow, the director, film director, has got a new film out. I think I've mentioned it on here before. And it's called House of Dynamite, which, I mean, she's a proper propaganda director. She's also the one who did that Zero Dark 30, which is the one where they're hunting for a bin Laden. And she's done The Hurt Locker, which I think is in Iraq, with Jeremy Renner, is it? And he played Hawkeye in Marvel films. But they're all pretty military-based films, basically. The House of Dynamite one is a nuclear war heading towards America, and no one knows who's launched it, kind of thing. Anyway, that were interesting in itself. But then I realized it was written by Noah Oppenheim, who also wrote Zero Day, that one that we talked about with Robert De Niro. Do you remember? Do you remember when I said that I reckon there's going to be some kind of blackout, and there was that blackout in Spain? Not because I knew, but because there was a number of different films pointing in that direction about blackouts and stuff. I'm not saying it's going to be a nuclear bomb, hopefully, if they exist. But Noah Oppenheim, then I looked at him, right? And I was just looking, while I was waiting for you to come on, I was just looking at his filmography, and he was the boss of NBC in America, right? And he got into a lot of trouble because they said he was suppressing a lot of the Harvey Weinstein investigation. So he kind of, and then he stopped being the boss there, and then now he's a screenwriter. So he wrote Zero Day, and he also screen wrote the nuclear bomb one. Then I thought I'd look on his IMDb, is it IMDb or whatever it's called? And
it's owned by Amazon, isn't it? You know,
he's got a film coming out. This is another weird one, isn't it? There's a lot of films coming out about serial killers over the last few years.
Again,
Jeffrey Dahmer won. Oppenheimer. He's a producer and a writer.
Maybe that. Maybe you've just answered the question about what would be a good live one to do with Mike.
Serial killers.
Well, you know the Assassin's Creed thing that we did. I can add to that now with a few.
Program to Kill. Yeah, we could do a bit.
We could do a Program to Kill.
But Oppenheimer is a producer as well as a screenwriter. He's focusing on screenwriting now, but he's got a new one coming out. It's a TV series on John Wayne Gacy. That's 2025. House of Dynamite, 2025. Zero Day, that was 2025. Then before this, right? So going into 2024. This is all this year. Zero Day, House of Dynamite. I don't know what the psychological reasoning or propaganda reason is behind the serial killer films over and over and over again just getting released. But then he had one called My Generation, 2024. LGBTQ flag on the cover. And it's on LGBT based separated family separations. I don't know what that's about. That's 2024. The debutants, three teens navigate identity and gender, etc. you see what I mean, though? To End All Wars, Oppenheimer and the Atomic Bomb had produced that in 2023. Everybody, three individuals who overcame shame, secrecy, and unauthorized surgery as kids, go on to enjoy successful adulthoods. It's got the LGBTQ flag on that one as well. This is in like 2 years, fat. And then he did one with the guy who played Benny Blanco from the Bronx in Cali as well. Do you remember? I always forget his name. Like Guizliam is called or something. Do you know what I mean? That Latino guy. So he did it. He did a one where he toured around with him. They toured around with him talking about how fantastic Latinos are in America, whatever that means. The disappearance of Shirk Height. The Height Report. She wrote a book about the female orgasm. And so he did a documentary about her, whatever that means.
So what's it? What's his first name?
Noah. Oppenheim. Noah. Worth $250 million.
There's a Lance Oppenheim as well, isn't there? Who's an American filmmaker.
I think we found a couple. And he had one called Model America, 2022. Which is a complicated relationships with race in America. So you can see where that one's going. He did one about a serial killer housewife with Bridget Jones in it. Memory Box, Echoes of 911, 2021. And before that, he was doing he was a producer, and like I said, he was a boss of NBC. So he did a Today show that went on for years. But he had a 10-year gap where he didn't do anything. Between 2010 up to 2010, and he didn't do anything. But every one of those things is produced or written, to me, is a proper part of the propaganda machine. And he did Today Show, which was one of those, you know, just goes on forever. Those morning shows where they're all drinking coffee. Yeah. Still delivering the same fucking horror story as everything else, just over a cup of coffee and wearing a cardigan to make them look a bit more, you know, they have that one in England, don't they?
Make them look more human.
They have them in England and they'll have Keir Starmer on just before he becomes Prime Minister, won't they? Making a fucking omelette, talking about the band they were in, that kind of thing. Horrible.
Did you know my ass is like a blood orange?
But it just proves, doesn't it, that, like I said, he's worth $250 million, this guy. And
what's his name again, Chris?
I know you like mentioning things like
that. Well, with a name like Oppenheimer. What's his first name?
Noah
again, sorry?
Oppenheim. Screenwriter now.
Well, I mean, Oppenheimer is from Frankfurt. Definitely from Frankfurt. Mm. There's no doubt about that. I would say that this other guy, Lance Oppenheim, who's an American filmmaker, documentarian, producer, who was born in 1996. This guy was born in 1977. I'm presuming it's his son.
Well, I remember finding that Lance guy because I remember finding this guy when we talked about Zero Day, that De Niro one. We talked about him then because you said that... Oppenheimer could just be a shortened version of Oppenheimer. But he's made a documentary about Oppenheimer.
Well, it definitely is. I mean, I did. I've done. It's actually in part of it's in my book. I did what was it called now? Some research that was done by some professors, the Jewish professors listing, getting the names. This is not any sort of conspiratorial thing, but from Frankfurt and where they've gone in the world. So yeah, the Oppenheims or Oppenheimers obviously went to South Africa and America. Then you've got all these famous names, like the guys that own Chanel, Wurtzmeyers, Rockefellers.
But you also think of Fritz Springmeier when he said, and I always remember that in his book, where he said, they don't give shit about the names, really. It's about the bloodline, isn't it?
It's about who's carrying, who's willing to, so blood. I reckon bloodline's one of the main things, but they've also got to have the propensity to do the dirty work, haven't they? To follow the plan. And they do that in a variety of different ways. They either do it because they want to do it and they enjoy it, or they do it because they've been caught with a goat and had some pictures taken.
But this guy...
Yeah. Or they do it because of financial struggles or whatever.
But this guy, I would guess, and I'm only guessing, I don't know the guy, I would say he's in it up to his nuts. He knows exactly what he's doing when he's producing all these kind of shows.
Yeah, well, I would say that Lance, born in 1977...
Was he an actor or a film?
He says, Noah, born in 1977... Lance in 1996, so he'd probably been young if it is his relation.
What films has he done?
This Lance guy. Let me share the screen.
I've not. Can you make it any bigger?
He's not done anything. Wait a minute, let me see where's it got to.
I can see it now. Some Kind of Heaven, Sperm World. Sounds nice. Python Hunt.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any of these, to be fair.
No, they're all small time, aren't they? So,
Frank. I remember that one. No, I don't.
Frank.
No, I thought it was something else. What's that, though? That's an A241. That the A24, they're kind of... A24 is a production, like kind of a trendy production company. Make kind of right, you know, on the anyway. Nice films. Just while we're on film subject though, Fire. I noticed this. There's a film coming out. It's out now, I think, actually. It's called Begonia. And it's where a company has got Emma Stone in it. And I know the reason I mention this is because there's two. It's a company exec gets kidnapped by two conspiracy theorists who think she's an alien, basically. Right. I don't know where it goes from there. But it's got Emma Stone in it. But then I noticed I read in Empire, there's another film coming out called Sacrifice, and it's got Chris Evans in it, who's who played Captain America in the Marvel films. And he's captured by a cult, and they want to throw him in a volcano to stop the end of the world. What I mean is, them two films, to me, have got the same theme. But they're both kind of aimed at conspiracy theorists. Because I saw the trailer for the Begonia one, and they look disheveled, living in a shitty, knackered old house with all shit everywhere. And then they kidnap Emma Stone, who's a company exec. I mean, they're both, I would say, almost the same story, aren't they? Conspiracy theorists kidnap a rich person.
I mean, Mariana Springmatter wrote screenplay.
Another thing, though, if I look at this, right, you can see this, right? That's Empire magazine, right? So I get my missus goes subscribe me to Empire. I keep thinking I'll stop it, but I do read it because it's kind of more interesting now. But look at that shitty, flimsy magazine, right? Look at this. I found some older ones from 90s because I used to collect it back then. It's massive, right? The articles in it are proper long drawn articles. You know what I mean? And you come, look at that. I mean, look at the articles in there. The paper's nicer. It's heavier, thicker. And this, you're lucky to get an article more than a page. And if it is, right, it's kind of spread out and poppy and shite.
Well, again, we were talking about this yesterday with Chris Thrall, weren't we? About how filmmakers,
work of art.
I know it's something slightly different, but it's writing, screenwriters or the script writers have been told to write scripts specifically for people who are doom scrolling on their phones while they're watching the film. Yeah. So you can doom scroll, not say you're talking to me, and you've got to explain everything like a child.
So they repeat the plot,
and that's why
over and over again.
Yeah, over and over again, so you don't forget it. And that's why when you're watching it, you're thinking, What am I watching? I mean, I don't really watch many films. I watched one on a plane not long ago, and I'm thinking, this isn't how they used to write scripts, you know?
I mean, there's no unfolding of the plot, is there? There's no unfolding. No, it's just dang, dang, dang.
In fact, I'd say there is no plot, yeah.
Odd, isn't it? Look how big that magazine is.
Well, it's not odd. It's just, well, there's several reasons. It's not just doom scrolling. I don't think people now, I'm saying people, a lot of people, can actually concentrate for that.
Well, I mentioned it on that Chris Froll chat we had, but I mentioned it here. This was at work this week. Guy at work, we had some music on. Young lad at work said, "Oh, you listen to the same music as my mum." I said, "I'm probably older than your mum," and I was. And he said, "Yeah, she listens to songs like that, and they're gone for like 6 or 7 minutes." And I said, "How long do you want a song to be?" And he said, 2 minutes max. I don't even know I've never even heard a 2 minute song.
Well, that were a radio edit, wasn't it? Radio edits went half minutes or whatever, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they could
I think if a song's good, seven longer the better, if it's a good one.
Well, it's got to have an intro. It's got to have it's got to have the song. It's got to have an outro. You know what I mean? It's got to have a proper...
On that subject, I'd not been at work for a couple of weeks, and I went back, and we always have a playlist on YouTube while we're just working away, play through the speaker. I work on a Tuesday, I call it Geriatric Tuesday because we're all in his 50s. So we just put a bit of soul music on. But something I noticed that's happened over the last few weeks, when you put, you know, you're putting in, made up a playlist of soul music, basically. But some of the songs had changed. I think they'd been AI'd, some of them I'd never even heard of, but it was odd. And some of the songs that I do know, they'd changed, but it still said that they'd been on there for 3 years, but they said like, oh, it's a 1971 remix extended version.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I've known that song my whole life. I've never had a 1970, they didn't even do remixes in 70. Well, they did a few, but not many.
If it were live, whatever.
I'd have heard it anyway.
Mayfield or Isaac Hayes might do Shaft, but played.
There's a famously that, well, I'm saying famously, in my mind it's famous, of Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield. There's also an extended version. But there's not it didn't happen that often in them days, did it? But it'll say like 1971 remix, and you can hear that it's not a proper song. It's very
odd. The AI stuff. Me stuff through.
When we were away, my mate put on Curtis Mayfield, because he knows I like Curtis Mayfield, and he had him on the front, right? And it was just like one long song of Curtis Mayfield sounding music, but it wasn't him. And all I keep thinking is, keep your fucking CDs and your LPs now, because you're not going to know. Even musically, on films, on news, on anything, you can't trust anything anymore.
Well, there are YouTube channels where you've got some people, they're generally black guys or girls, actually, will listen to white people sing that have got soul. Right. So one of them, these four young lads, were listening to a song, and I think it was Michael McDonald, I keep forgetting. And they couldn't believe that he were white, for instance.
Yeah, he has got the blackest voice white for a white voice. Man.
Yeah. I think I forget what one now said. Yeah. But anyway, that's another story. But that was released as a rap song in '90s.
Yeah.
So they automatically thought it was that song.
Right, yeah. Well, I get a lot of that work, yeah. With old soul music. What?
Yeah.
Is he Snoop Dogg?
But,
no.
No, it's not Snoop Dogg. Stevie Wonder, you fucking moron. But
Stevie Wonder one, Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah. But imagine what it's going to be with AI, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, that phenomenon never happened when, you know, like, say, in 1960s. A song might have sounded like a blues song, for instance, that Rolling Stones, but it wasn't a...
Oh, they took a riff, like a beat.
And whether they wrote it or not is another thing, but... but anyway, where's this going? It could be the same thing, really. It's the same principle, isn't it? No, but it's the same principle, really, isn't it? They've got writers doing it, now they use AI. Is it any different, apart from it's not human?
Well, interestingly, when you talk about manufactured bands, right? You know, when you talk about manufactured bands... at least, because you could say, like, say Stock Aitken and Waterman music from the 80s, and then you take Motown. Motown were all, they were churning them out. The difference is, by the 80s, they had synthesizers. In there, they had to actually still make the music, didn't they? Hmm. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference, I think.
Yeah.
That's why there was a quality to it, the reason why...
Well, it was an analog sound, I suppose, as well. But they're all hip factories, weren't they?
Yeah,
that's all the word. Hip factories, that's where the term comes from.
I'm sure there were hip factories going back to like orchestral music.
But imagine you had Stevie Wonder, Teddy Pendergrass, Otis Redding, all these people there writing music. Now, I think in the 50s and 60s, a lot of these guys were talented. Mm. Whereas now you get people that aren't necessarily talented, don't you?
Mm. Well, I suppose you've got more tools to help.
But look what's just happened with Oasis. You know, all of a sudden the best mates and they're doing a world tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Contrived from day one?
Well, whatever. But I mean, they're not my thing. They're a Beatles tribute band and Beatles were a blues tribute band. So,
No, I've never been an Oasis fan.
No.
I mean, you like what you like, don't you?
Someone like Paul Weller, I reckon he's a talented guy.
Mm.
Who don't get the notoriety of people like Oasis did.
Mm. And he probably inspired them as well.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter whether they're part of some secret club or not secret club. The whole thing is owned, so it's irrelevant, isn't it?
Mm.
Does it make any difference whether all the band are in on it or not? Because if it's owned by EMI, that were basically a military setup, then it doesn't really make any difference, does it?
No. Talking about that as well, this is another article that was in, what do you call it?
Is that Empire a recent magazine? One or your old one?
Oh, no, sorry, December.
Recent one, yeah.
It's December.
The AI actor giving Hollywood the jitters.
Yeah, so that woman there in that picture, he's an AI-created actor.
I reckon Grab Claws is AI. inserted into my life.
She's got her own Facebook and Instagram page.
Right, well, why wouldn't you if you're AI? You can automatically set it up. Now, did AI set that Instagram page up, or did a human have to set it up?
No, he's a human. But when's that AI going to make? When's that AI might get older and then become a producer and start making their own AI as well?
Didn't Bruce Willis sell his rights to AI before he went gaga?
Apparently, yes.
And Tom Hanks has, hasn't he, as well?
As I don't know.
Yeah, Tom Hanks has.
It is interesting. I think we mentioned this on one before, didn't we? They brought back Ian Holm for the last Alien film.
Mm.
He died a long time ago. And the guy at Star Wars, well, they brought him back for a Star Wars film. And what was it? Who was it? Who was in the that advert we were on? That's what we were on about, wasn't it? I've forgotten her name. Audrey Hepburn. They brought her back for that. Was it a Magnum ad?
Yeah.
I mean, the family will have to agree, but how do you get the rights?
Who was the famous live act where they brought somebody back who were dead? Was it Elvis they did? They did something like that, didn't they? Were it Prince?
Michael Jackson. I think it was
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, yeah, it might be. Yeah. Didn't somebody bring it on at one of the live shows?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Was it quite a few years ago, weren't it?
Yeah.
I see Anthony Hopkins has just written a book about his life, how hard it is and stuff like that. He was an alcoholic, wasn't he, when he was younger? And he disowned his daughter. From 1 year old, he didn't have really a relationship with her. And he can't understand why she didn't want to talk to him.
Now?
Yeah. Maybe because she was a fucking dick. all I can think now of Anthony Hopkins, who I really liked as an actor, right? He had to do, is him weaseling up to that place in LA, winding his window down and rolling his arm up and getting a jab in his arm.
Oh, did he?
With his fucking plastic face guard on and a mask.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I wondered why you were having so much venom towards him.
Just light-hearted, Chris.
I was thinking, why are you so angry at Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. What are you telling everyone else? You're in a responsible position of power there, aren't you?
Well, again, like we were talking to Matt Letizia, that's why nobody came out, because they had to go after them people, didn't they? Mm. Them people were key, well, one of the keys to not having a... If just, I don't know, 100 famous people came out and said, don't have it.
There'd be some power that, wouldn't it?
just in the, if 100 people came from whatever, actors, singers, comedians, whatever, right?
Just a melting pot of a melting pot of 100.
If you were a sports star or an actor or a famous person who didn't agree with not having the jab and you didn't say out, then you're a fucking coward. You might be a nice person, right? But at that particular moment, you cowarded out.
Yeah.
Because people like who were listening and us all stood up and said, fuck you, we're not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a coward. And you might make up for it now. I'm not, that's fine. But I remember him asking, Pink Floyd guy, Roger Waters, why he didn't stand up in 2020 and stuff like that. I mean, he probably got jabbed him. But he said, well, you know, Palestine's my thing for other people to stand up. I'm thinking, fuck off. What, you locked everybody down in your own country and you didn't want to say out?
Yeah.
Mr. fucking rebel.
I think there's a shenanigans going on there where these celebrities are coming out and saying the Palestine thing. I think they've been told to do it, or they've been greenlit to do it. I don't know. Or do you think
I don't know whether they have or not. I think it's just a different subject, isn't it? Because people, for some reason, think that as much as the government are twats, they're not going to lie about your health. They're here to save you. That's one thing.
No, you're right.
That's one thing that's off the table.
It's a different subject. It's a totally different subject because there's always been wars, and famous folk have always come out against wars and, well, I'm saying wars, genocide. They've always come out against these things, haven't they?
Mm.
You know.
What did that Liverpool manager say? He said, if you didn't have it, you're like a drunk driver who kills somebody. I think he said something like that.
Did I see this on Ed's thing today, Fire?
That was Jurgen Klopp.
What's his name? And again, I don't want to slag anyone off, but I'm going to a little bit. That fucking guy who does a podcast, PDBS, is it? Something, what's he called?
Patrick Bet-David.
Yeah. So I think I saw it on Ed's. I was watching something today. I think it was on Ed's.
Can't watch him. I can't watch that other little mouthy twat who's with him either. People send me clips of him and I can't watch, just can't watch him at all.
I've only watched one thing he's ever done, and it was with that satanic ritual abuse survivor, and I couldn't listen. I had to stop it because I sent it to you, didn't I? Because he was just so rude. It was just ridiculous. But Ed showed a clip of him saying what they need to do, what Netanyahu needs to do is like a roast where get all comedians and they roast him just to put him back on track so everyone can say what they want. But he's committed fucking genocide. You can't have a comedy roast about with that fucking
psycho. Well, what about that? Was she a general? A nurse? So the founder video, or she took the video, I can't remember. I think she took the video.
Yeah, right. Someone getting
raped. No, she was part of the inquiry, I think, Chris. She was heading up the inquiry. And them guys had the shields, right? They look like Roman shields, didn't they? Strange. But she's gone missing now. So I can't see any comedians giving roasting Netanyahu, do you? So what you're saying is you turd polish him and then let him off. Is that what happens? What did you do to Hitler, right? What would you have done to Hitler, should I say? What did you do to Ceausescu or whatever he was called from Romania? What happened to him?
You know, well, what did they do to Saddam Hussein? Who never actually...
Exactly, Gaddafi, all these people. Are you telling me that they were worse than what he's done, right? Yeah. But then Tommy Rubenstein will sort it out.
You must feel like a right twat if you follow Rubenstein by now, sure.
No, people don't, mate, honestly.
I suppose it's like following Trump, isn't it?
Yeah, people, I am not...
They don't admit and go, I made a mistake, my guy's a knob.
I'm not anti-jab, I'm not pro-jab. I just don't want to fucking poison myself, okay? And I'm not pro-Palestine, and I'm not anti-Palestine. I just don't want to see people murdered.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not Muslim. Have to be part of I'm not Christian. Club. I'm not. No. I don't know. I'm not into Judaism. I'm not religious at all. But I don't want to see people murdered. I think that is one of vows, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just quite a big one, Chris.
Yeah. Just basic humanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking give him a roast, stupid twat. I'm gonna open this bottle of wine.
Right.
It's a bottle of fruit.
Nearly an hour anyway. We're nearly ready for.
Packing in now. All right.
More or less.
I'm still opening a bottle of wine. Don't worry, sucking in on it.
I didn't expect anything else, Chris.
Bottle of Rioja. Yeah. I don't want to call anyone a twat, but that guy's a twat for saying that. Isn't it?
Yeah. No, I just think that I think he's quite a big trumper. right? And that there's a lot of people struggle to realize that whatever you think of Trump or Biden, or they're all control puppets. Look at Alex Jones, right? Alex Jones, if you think about it, in the 2000s, I remember watching some of his stuff.
Oh, brilliant.
Thinking, wow, he's talking about stuff that we all think and all this type of stuff, especially after 9/11, this carry on. All them videos and films he made and stuff. And just roll on to him going into court, right? What was it? $2 billion he's got fined or whatever it was. But yet he's still on telly. And all of a sudden changes tune and Trump's amazing. You know, can you imagine 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever it was when he started, all the way through, he slagged Israel off for bombing people and killing people or going into Iraq or Afghanistan and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, it's all right.
Yeah. He wouldn't have endorsed a politician like that before, would he?
I don't think so.
In the early days?
I just can't see it. I'm not saying he's anything. I'm just saying he's changed.
Mm.
Do you know, a politician, I don't know, there might be some miracle, and a politician might get in Britain who does control things and is nice and whatever and changes it. Can't see it happening, but
no.
What I'm trying to say is I will acknowledge that if it happens.
It's been
you
more
will acknowledge it though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you would. It seems more infiltrated than ever now, is the
yes.
point.
Yes, well, because
it's more blatant.
Idiots like us are talking about and doing research because we're apolitical. We're not interested in that. And you've got a platform. And if you think about a lot of people, like I'll use Chris Thrall as an example. You know, I don't know how many subscribers he's got, 100,000 or something like that. How many people are like that with a few thousand people listening to and talking about stuff like this openly?
Mm.
You know, BBC, I said this to you the other day, BBC or ITV or any of these, Sky and all these others, would have a wet dream with them type of viewing figures, if you put them all together.
Mm. No one's watching that shite anymore, are they?
No. No one's watching it. You know, your BBC verified bollocks. Everyone knows it's nonsense. Even normies that you speak to don't watch BBC anymore. In fact, somebody today would tell it, saying to me, I don't know why I pay that license fee. I never watch that telly anymore. Blah, blah. It's shite. But she didn't say it was shite. We're a woman, but yeah. But you get the gist, don't you? I knew she was thinking it was shite.
My missus watches BBC. She watches The Crown and all that shite.
Do you know what? I can't watch it because it's nonsense. Even music annoys me. People that speak in between shows when they're changing shows.
I imagine you saying that. She only watches iPlayer. You know,
yeah, I can't watch it because I just can't watch that poison. It's poison.
Mm.
I don't eat sugar and gluten.
Do you know,
I don't watch BBC because it's same sort of poison.
We all watch stuff. Does anyone actually watch terrestrial TV anymore?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think I said on here before, when we stayed in London, I put the TV on. And the adverts, they weren't like expensive adverts anymore. They were like cheap shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, again, going back to music, AI shite.
It's a reflection of how much money they've got in it and how much you know, clout they've got. Adverts are crap.
I think I've mentioned on here, I've read Ken Follett, you know, just to switch off. Because he does like historical books. I'm not saying they're all accurate. He's an author, right?
Right. Never heard of
him. But he writes books like, they suit me because they're like 1,000 pages long, some of them. Yeah. So quite big. So, but when he used to write books, he used to build his characters up, and his characters were like real characters. Yeah, he's got a theme that he uses all the way through all of his books. But anyway, I won't get into that. But recently, these books now, he's churning them out. There's no way, you know, these books that he wrote before took him like years to write, and he could tell with depth of information in there. These other books, right, that are coming now, they're like, he'll write one 2 years ago and then another will come out in 2 years. Whereas it'd be 4 years previously.
He's having a bit of AI assistance.
Well, either it's AI assistance or he's got a group of writers that do most of the writing and they'll come up with an idea and then...
Well, that's always happened, hasn't it?
But it doesn't feel like ghostwriters. It doesn't read like a human being is doing it.
Right. So it could be AI.
Yeah, or you'll read one chapter and then it'll jump to another one. You think, well, normally he'd have wrote about that in detail and he just jumped to 10 years on.
Is it just another is it another reflection? Maybe the ghostwriters are getting younger and shitter.
Woke or whatever.
Yeah. Is it just that? Is it like no one cares anymore? Do they? No one cares.
It's strange because in his books he always has. Even if he's going back 500, 600, 800 years, there's always a gay guy, and there's always lesbians.
What now? Or there always was.
Always was.
All right, even before
living in a village. You know.
No, I mean even before when he said his writing was better.
Yeah. So he always had these themes in his books.
So he would work before work were a thing.
Yeah. But it would like the last several books where he put that in, whereas before he didn't used to put it in. It's a strange.
No, you said that, you dickhead.
No, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Fucking hell.
But it's changed over time, is what I'm trying to say. His early books didn't have it in, but these now become more woke. Like in, I don't know, 12th century, for instance, two women would live together and it'd been fine. Well, no, I don't really think that happened.
It didn't have to be part of it, does it? It's like that new game came out. I mean, video games, right? I played one for ages, but I used to like the Assassin's Creed video games, as we've talked about. I think we talked about it with Nathan Lucius, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because he liked them as well. And the last one they brought out, right? I think we've mentioned it on here before. So I've played all of them, and I love them. They've been around for years, right? Because you go to like ancient Greece, you know, Vikings. The last one, I don't know if I told you this, actually, was a samurai game, right? So you play, you know, you're in ancient Japan. Who do you think the main character is?
Well,
a black guy.
Right.
Black guy.
Black ninja.
You can play as two characters, right? Now, to me, if I was playing a samurai game, because I love all that samurai stuff as well, you'd be, you know, middle age, 40, 30, whatever, aged Japanese man, right? You can play as two characters, apparently. I've never played it. I refuse to play it. You can play as a black samurai, who's also a gay, or you can play as a woman. Right. Those are your two fucking options.
I think part breeds are underrepresented in these video games. All right, that's all for part one. If you can just join us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week. Bye.